What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 20th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Emmett Sheehan, Fast and Fashion. If you didn't get it, that's the Sheehan Fast Fashion Company. It's fine. He is becoming Fast and Fashion because he's looking great. 7 strikeouts, 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 runs because of an annoying 2-run shot in his final frame. Careful Icarus there. But 15 whiffs, 30% CSW, got the win, Emmett Sheehan. And what is interesting about this one is they had 15.5 inches of vert on his four-seamer in Coors. Normally we see 3 to 3.5 inches less, which means that's an 18-inch plus, maybe a 19-inch four-seamer that he's locating upstairs with a relatively flat attack angle at 95 miles per hour. That's pretty cool. And then you have a slider that just destroyed the Rockies a lot with a 40% plus CSW, 47%, I should say, 10 over 30 whiffs. Ooh, lovely. The question really becomes for next year and moving forward, is that machine going to have the changeup working or a curveball or a cutter or something else as number 3? And I also do want to mention that the Dodgers as a whole have been kind of weird with limiting the potential of their starters. We've seen a lot of guys who are coming up the system to get really excited about, but they just aren't really taking that next step. We've seen Dustin May, Walker Buehler, post-sticky stuff, of course. Gavin Stone was looking like it a little bit, maybe not. And then you have Ryan Pepiot having to leave to be effective. And I just want Sheehan to be able to take that next step. He gets a lovely schedule moving forward. Okay, it's a Reds carpet next. Then he goes into PNC Park against the Pirates, and then he hosts Rocky Road. So you definitely want him right now. It's going to be really interesting to see how he, you know, shapes up in drafts for next year. As once again, we're going to have a ton of SP depth for the season. Tarik Skubal ace is going to ace against Hunter Brown. Also, the ace is going to ace, but Tarik Skubal had the gallows pull 25 whiffs. Oh my gosh, everything's fine there. Hunter Brown, 95.7. It's the second time all year that he's been under 96 miles per hour. If you remember, I got really hyped about 97 plus earlier on, and we have seen that sparingly. It's more like 96.5. This was 95.7, which he lasted in April 1st. It was 95.8. So we've now seen twice under 96 in August. It might be fatigue coming. I will say I love the hook from Hunter Brown. That curveball was glorious. And when he has that working and not just the fastballs, things are fine. Tomoyuki Sugano got the gold star because he went 5 shutout in Fenway. Ooh, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. So Kovac certainly helped here. I'm not really in love with this, but he does get the Red Sox again, but in Camden, so not Fenway, and then the Giants, and maybe there's a win in there, maybe 2. We'll see if you really need to go win hunting. Otherwise, I don't really feel like it's enough of a ratio or strikeout boost for you. You have David Peterson against the Nationals. He got a win. 8 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. Arguably the best start of the year for David Peterson with a King Cole at 42% CSW. How did he do this? Well, there's been a lot of discussion about lefties and their overperformance this year. And one of the bigger things that I'm focused on is the changeup, of course, how that's become just such a nullifier against right-handers. And Peterson in this one really embraced it with the sinker landing for called strikes above it. So the changeup for David Peterson was featured 21% of the time for a 45% CSW and 7 over 20 whiffs. And that led to the sinker getting 10 called strikes on 33 thrown, which is amazing, and then a 42% CSW. That is something that could stick around as far as an approach goes. I mean, I do have to mention the slider also doing a great job in this one. But keep in mind that the movement on those two, the sinker and the changeup, are not as good as, say, like Christopher Sanchez from the left side doing this kind of thing or Logan Webb. It's not on the same level. So I don't really think of this as like, oh yeah, now this is who he is kind of thing. But this was really nice, and I hope that, you know, you can keep that focus without leaning too heavily into the four-seam, which can be a bit erratic, and sometimes the breaking stuff isn't there, etc. So good to hear from Peterson. He does get Atlanta next. I think I'm still going to go for it. Nick Pivetta is getting so close that ace is going to ace label. Destroyed it against the Giants. Got the win, 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts. My gosh. He gets the Dodgers next, so I feel wrong giving him the ace is going to ace label now before that Dodgers start. But if I were to give it to him now, I'm expecting him to be good there. So, right, we can just wait one more time. Also, he was the focus of the list this week. He was the featured pitcher, so there is no list curse. Stop saying that. Jameson Taillon against the Brewers came back from the IL against the Brewers, had a fantastic game, got the win, 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. He was battling a little bit against right-handers, snuck in some sinkers in there to surprise them, to stay away from the spin away, as he told me, with sweepers going away. He didn't have the best sinker command, though, and nor did he have the best cutter there. Against right-handers, he was really dotting four-seamers. I mean, this was really good to see. The changeup, he actually was telling me was feeling better than usual as far as shape goes. I mean, he had a 2 vertical and a 15 horizontal, which is really good for Jameson Taillon's changeup. Just think of it having like kick change kind of drop to it. So he was throwing those a lot against lefties, and they did not get burned, even though they were heavily over the zone. Something to keep an eye on there. He does get the Angels and then Coors and the Nationals. And considering how well he did against lefties here, I'm okay with it. Against the Angels is a little worrisome, but it is a cutter focus and he is leaning on that sinker. So I think you're fine with all of this, even inside of Coors. For Jameson Taillon, it's an elite defense behind him. Good win chance. Max Scherzer against the Pirates got the win, speaking of which, and he's just helped you. Just keep starting Max Scherzer. 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. Beautiful. Christopher Sanchez, as I just mentioned before, 6.1 innings of 2 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 12 strikeouts. My gosh. 22 whiffs and a 41% CSW, which didn't earn any award, which is dumb. That should be a golden goal in any other night. His changeup was glorious. It had a sub 60% strike rate. What, Nick? That's not so good. Yes, it is, because it was tempting right under the zone. He actually wasn't just going zone friendly with this. That led to the sinker also being down as well, and it was a full-on neckbeard approach. It was glorious. 11 over 43 whiffs on the changeup, 7 over 20 on the slider. And what's kind of wild is that we're actually doing a lot of work under the hood about simulations and trying to really get to a point of having a full-on projection and playoff projection, all this kind of stuff. Doing a lot of things in season for you guys, not just in off-season. So we simulated this game. And guess what? We had exactly 6.1 innings, exactly 200 runs, exactly 6 hits, and exactly 96 pitches for Christopher Sanchez. And we had 6 strikeouts, though. So good job on the 12 strikeouts here, Christopher Sanchez. That put away rate was glorious. You have Seth Lugo against the Rangers. Everything is fine, guys. 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. All right. We are just glorious and good, and everything is fine. Don't worry about Seth Lugo moving forward. Be happy that the four-seamer did its job, and he has the kitchen sink of things to mix around, too. Curveball's still great. The sweeper wasn't really classified, but it really was a sweeper and a curveball in this. But yeah, they're great. We're cool. Carlos Rodon against the Rays got the win. 6 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. We will take it, even though it's a 117 whip. And the duo of heaters and sliders worked well. Some good changeups in there. The sinker is actually kind of throwing down away to right-handers, and I'm not against it, but it did allow a hit in this one and then also a hit against lefties, and I'm sure that he is not as confident in it because of that, which is a little annoying. But Carlos Rodon is settling after a rough stretch. Jacob Lopez against the Twins. He's cross-body, and it's still so deceptive. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Over 7 feet of extension on the four-seamer and the sinker. And it's good to see that the four-seamer had a sub 40% zone rate. As he's trying to stay out of the zone, be attempting offering tease guys a bit. And then the cutter comes back over. Then the sweeper comes back over. And the changeup didn't actually do that well. It actually allowed one of the solo shots. And that's also a big part of this. It wasn't even there. You got to keep holding on to this as long as he has a rhythm to get the strikes with the secondaries. It is not something I believe in for next year because he is very cross-body. And that means you're going to have the ceilings and the floors of hipster life. There you go. That's the sentence I really wanted. He's going to have the ups and downs that are going to drive you crazy. Merrill Kelly against the Royals. 6 innings, 200 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Yep, that is Merrill Kelly. That is what a stable floor looks like. And what I did mention inside the roundup, which is an interesting topic for another time, really, is that we talk about, oh yeah, we need stability in our ratios as we draft our teams. And then you realize a lot of the guys you get after like pick 150 is not really stability. And it's stability that you can find on the waiver wire. As Merrill Kelly, I don't know how high he was drafted. And you likely could have gotten him as a waiver wire pick. It's kind of wild. You have Walker Buehler not doing anything exciting. And 4 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, 5, 4 Ks. And I just don't get it. Why are the Red Sox starting him and not like Richard Fitz and Criswell, who actually did really well. Like, why? What's the point? Move on. You got to win all these games. Joe Ryan went 4 innings and 2 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. Very unfortunate as an ace because the 4-seamer got hit for foul balls a lot and wasn't as efficient with it, and the other stuff didn't really help much. And there goes your pitch count at 87 pitches. That's baseball. It happens. Kai Wei Tang against the Padres, 3.1 innings of 200 runs in 80 pitches, 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. You see the spin, and it's interesting, the curve and the sweeper, but it's just the command isn't all there, and you can't just throw those. He has to throw in more four-seamers and sinkers, otherwise guys are going to, you know, they're really planning for it. They're able to foul it off effectively, so you have to figure this out a little bit more, Tang. All right, we have other guys to talk about. Hunter Green, Michael McCreevy, Brandon Woodruff, Eduardo Rodriguez, and many, many others to talk about. We're going to do that after this break. Hunter Green, 6.1 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 12 Ks. This was a careful Icarus, as in the 7th he allowed two more runs, which is so annoying because it was so good. I mean, 12 strikeouts, of course, 17 whiffs. I'm giving him the ace is going to ace. 75% sliders for strikes. Incredible pitch separation. He has the vert and the flatness of the four-seamer that you want. It's great. Michael McGreevy got the win in a streaming victory. 6 innings of 300 runs. It's a poor quality start, yes, but 6 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. We will take this all day to the bank. And it was a careful Icarus in the 7th, which is very annoying. But Michael McGreevy, you're good for a stream, and that's about it. Chad Patrick was a spot start for the Brewers against the Cubs. Nothing really to report here. 5 innings of 300 runs. You don't really want to touch him when he does return in the future. Brandon Woodruff, it was a doubleheader here against the Cubs. Went 4.1 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts, 13 whiffs. This was hopefully coronation day, and it didn't happen because the Cubs ruined it for him. The 4-seamer wasn't as good. It was at 93 miles per hour. The turn to changeup was really nice. He moved to the slow ball, 31% usage, 24% swing strike rate, about 80% strikes. And it essentially happened as 5 hits off of 8 balls in play with the heaters. That's it, right? You have 8 balls in play. 5 of them go for hits. Come on, Koufax. Be nicer than that. He didn't really have a slider, though. Like the cutter that we've been calling the slider is a cutter, whatever it is. 1-for-6 called strikes, and that's it. Actually, just 1-for-6 strikes, not even called strikes. Yeah, that isn't it for Woodruff, but he should bounce back in his next start. Eduardo Rodriguez against the Guardians. 6.2 innings of 4 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. He did not pitch nearly as badly as this line looks. A 2-run shot really ruined this one from Jose Ramirez. And I really dug his command of this one. Changers were generally down and away. The cutters were up and in to right-handers. I don't really want to go for it against the Brewers and Dodgers, though. But consider Eduardo Rodriguez as a stream against the Red Sox in Arizona. And then you have San Francisco, where, of course, he'll face the Giants. You have Shane Smith against the against Atlanta, 6 innings, 400 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. This was a game where he was introducing a lot more sinkers. 16 inches of horizontal break, not the worst. And it's pretty cool to have that at 95-96 with the 4-seamer at 7.1 feet of extension. Those are two different fastballs, confusing to batters over the plate, but you need secondaries, and they didn't really do anything. They did have some whiffs, but they were 40%, 43% strikes. You need more consistency from that, especially against Atlanta. So don't consider Shane Smith against the Royals and the Yankees, but then maybe come back for the Twins and Rays after that. Cal Hendricks did everything he possibly could. Sinkers inside of right-handers, changeups down and away to both righties and lefties, and he faced the Reds carpet, and it was 6 innings of 4 runs and 8 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. You should just not do that. Tanner Bibee is someone you likely jumped off the wagon with, I guess. I don't know. You weren't into Bibee since like May or June or something like that. And if you're still on it, don't be. 5.2 innings of 4 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. I really like Bibee for next year just because this was so clearly a down year that everyone's going to be like, ah, I'm done with this guy. I'm not going to do it. And who knows? Maybe he's just good out of the gate. You know, he's going to be free, likely. I just think that Tanner Bibee is going to be someone to circle, at least at the very end of your drafts next year. It's just like, why not? Matthew Boyd against the Brewers got the win. 5.1 innings of 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. This was a terrible game of just bad command down the middle of the plate with his 4-seamer changeup. Then when the changeup wasn't down the middle of the plate, it was donut command because it was a big mistake, either too high or too low. Oh, man. Yeah, it's just a bad day at the park for Matthew Boyd. We did see the return of Bryce Miller. 5 innings, 4 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. And you go, oh, 4 earned runs. Yeah, he led 2 solo shots. Fine off of 4-seamers. But that was a glorious-looking 4-seamer. Sinker was looking all right. The secondaries all were returning strikes. You should be very encouraged by Bryce Miller. Jump back in 85 pitches as well. Edward Cabrera against the Cardinals. My gosh, did he get singled out. 11 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. 6 Ks, 4 runs and 4.1 innings. 17 whiffs, though. 99 pitches. What? His curveball and four-seamer did not have good number of strikes. Fine, they made up a fair number of his pitches. Okay. And he threw too many of his sinkers over the plate and they got hit. Fine. But Koufax, come on, man. And now that you have Atlanta, the Mets, and Phillies next, you might feel like you shouldn't be going with Cabrera. No, he's still very good. You should be doing that. Mitch Keller against the Jays. Yeah, Mitch Keller isn't very good. And 5 earned runs and 3.1 innings against the Jays. Like, yeah, no. Jake Irvin, 6 earned runs and 6 innings. It's kind of disappointing because he does have elite extension and he just can't locate anything. And the command of the curveball is really unfortunate. It's just so, yeah, it's sad. Same with Shane Baz, man. 3 innings and 6 earned runs. 7 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. He allowed 5 home runs back-to-back-to-back in the first, a 2-run shot in the second, and a solo shot in the third. I mean, come on. That's brutal. That is absolutely brutal. I think his four-seamer, I've been overrating a little bit. That said, the curveball is still great. I think the addition of the cutter is good when he doesn't throw it down the middle to Aaron Judge. And he's going to get at Cleveland and at Washington next, so away from George Steinbrenner, and then hosting Cleveland after. Now, how good is he against lefties? I would think that he's better against righties than lefties. But I don't know. I'm not going to throw away the idea that Shane Baz can be good in those. This has been a rough schedule for him. The home runs are noisy as always, but I still kind of believe there is something in there. It's weird to see a Pease, poor execution, awesome stuff guys who throw strikes, right? Maybe he doesn't have as awesome stuff as I am saying. I don't know. It's a gamble. I feel like in 12 teamers, you can't risk it right now. 15 teamers, you might have potential to, and if you're in a losing situation, you need a Hail Mary, Shane Baz could be it. Austin Gomber against the Dodgers went as you expected, 3 innings and 7 earned runs. And Bryce Elder against the White Sox, 4.2 innings of 8 earned runs, as kind of expected a bit. I mean, actually, it was like 98th percentile is like of earned run total. So, and the coronary simulation, so like a 2% chance of this one. But yeah, Bryce Elder, you shouldn't be trusting every Elder. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock. Enjoy the Bubba Chandler MLB debut on Friday. He's going to be in long relief. You don't need Adam because he's going to be in long relief. He could get some vulture wins, but it doesn't really look like he's going to get many starts this year. I feel like it's too late in the season to do anything there, but we're going to watch that. It could be Robbie Snelling on Friday too, which is pretty dang cool. And it'll also be Shane Bieber returning. So Friday night, you better come to playback.tv/pitcherlist. Okay? We're going to be watching baseball. I'll be there. It's going to be a fantastic night of baseball. It's free. MLB.TV is free this weekend. Okay, so if you don't have MLB.TV, you can still watch it. Come on by. It's going to be great. 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on Friday. Playback.TV/pitchlist. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.